The Red Sox won their fourth straight game Tuesday night with a 5-3 victory over the Cincinnati Reds on the road, though they did get into a little trouble in the ninth.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. I am your host, Nessun's Lauren Willand, and today we are going to talk about the Red Sox 5-3 win on Tuesday as they go for the sweep of the Reds in a series win on Wednesday night. We're going to discuss just how close this game ended up being when Matt Strom got into a little bit of trouble in the ninth inning. We'll take a look at yet another strong outing from Brian Baio and how the Red Sox certainly are now in experimental mode with the season coming to an end, with the postseason out of reach, and with a lot of optimism regarding 2023. We also have some unfortunate injury updates, but as I just said, this season is coming to an end. Let's get the players who will be crucial to the team in 2023 shut down, get them some rest, and get them 110% healthy for 2023. But on Tuesday, we saw a lot of what we haven't seen all season, and that's power. The power hasn't always been there for the Red Sox, but it came through on Tuesday. The Reds tied the game in the bottom of the third, but Rob Refschneider said, no, we're taking that lead right back. Hit a solo home run. JD Martinez followed up an inning later by crushing a 420-foot homer. And to cap off the night, Rafael Devers launched a two-run homer in the top of the ninth to give Boston a little bit of cushion. And thank God Devers did that, because they certainly needed that cushion. Because after giving up a single and striking out a batter to open up the bottom of the ninth, Strom walked three straight batters and he gave up a run. And all of a sudden, the lead was cut to three. Alex Cora brought on John Schreiber to get out of the jam, close out the inning, and win the game. And he did just that. He gave up a sacrifice fly and a ground ball. So all was well on Tuesday for the Red Sox. But it was really, really good to see JD Martinez look kind of like his old self that we've seen in years past from him. He's had a really down year at the plate. His offense has not been there. It hasn't been very JD-esque all season, and he knows it. He's talked about it. We've talked about it here on Locked On Red Sox. He did tell Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming in the Sox booth after Tuesday's game that all he did was just kind of change something. He didn't really go into detail about what exactly that change was, but he said that what do I have to lose at this point? What's the worst that can happen? I can go 0-for-4. I've gone 0-for-4 a million times this year. And it just kind of goes to show that just a small mechanical change can certainly make all the difference. And it did for JD on Tuesday. Hopefully we see some of that on Wednesday night as well. But somebody like JD has talked about how he really takes pride in being what he calls a trained hitter. If you ever watch his batting practices, he has iPads set up. He's getting them in all different directions so he can watch his batting practice. He watches his at-bats to see what he's done wrong, what he can do different, and so he can correct his wrongs and make sure it doesn't happen again. Hasn't exactly gone his way this season, but whatever he did worked Tuesday. Like I said, hopefully we see some of that into Wednesday's game. That would be really nice for him to kind of end this season on a high note. If the Red Sox can just finish above 500, that would be really, really nice. It's just been such a disappointing season. There were so many high hopes, and understandably so. It's just injury after injury, this offense not living up to its expectations, this bullpen once again melting down in times when the Red Sox really needed them. So it was a mix of everything. And no, the season isn't over. We still have some games to play. There's still a little bit left here in this season, but it's nice to see JD, I guess, finally try to come around. And who knows if he will be part of this team next year. It's going to be really interesting to see what his market is, and really interesting to see what the Red Sox do in this offseason. But we will cross that bridge when we get to it. We still have stuff to talk about regarding the Red Sox, including Garrett Whitlock. And the Red Sox received some unfortunate news on him. He will be shut down for the season, which I think we could have all seen coming. He will undergo an arthroscopic procedure to repair a right hip impingement. He's had the hip issue for the last few weeks or this last few months, and you could tell it was really bothering him. He was not his dominant self recently, and you could just tell that hip never really fully healed, but he was absolutely brilliant for the Red Sox this year. I know that they kind of had him in the bullpen. They had him as a starter. They had him in the bullpen, and they kept him in the bullpen where I believe he belongs. But the surgery is set to take place in New York, and then he will remain with the team as they face off against the Yankees. And the expectation is that he will be ready to go by spring training. He'll be good in February of next year. So that is a very, very good sign. He made 31 appearances for the Red Sox this year. He's one of the most dominant relief arms in baseball last season. Really showed a lot of his potential in closing role when he was there this season. But in his previous five games that he pitched for Red Sox, this is where you could definitely tell something was not right. He had a 9 ERA. He had 7 earned runs off 10 hits, 3 home runs. He only gave up 2 walks, but those other numbers are just not pretty, and you could just tell he was not 100%, and he tried to fight through it. And even though these guys are in incredible shape and in better shape than I'll ever be in, they can't fight through every ounce of pain. So he'll get that corrected. He should be good to go by 2023. And Alex Cora did have some interesting comments about Whitlock and his role next season. Now, he didn't necessarily confirm it, but it does sound like he wants Whitlock to be a starter in 2023. And you all know by now how I feel about that. I think he's just so valuable out of the bullpen. He showed that again in 2022. He showed that throughout this year. And he did struggle a little bit as a starter, but I don't want to put too much stock into that, because you also know how I feel about going from starter to reliever, reliever to starter, and you're just not defining roles for a lot of these pitchers, and it kind of messes with their head. It messes with their mentality. It messes with their routine, their pregame routine, their in-game routine. So if that is the case, if they do want to go with Whitlock as a starter, I will be okay with it if they map out a plan from the beginning and they stick with it. If they say, hey, we're going to have you be a starter. That's what you were developed as. That's what you want to be. We're going to do it. But stick with that. Do not go after 5 games, put him back in the bullpen, and mess everything up that he's worked for since spring training. So hopefully there will be some sort of defined role for Whitlock. I think he's been so good for this team. But I love what he's done out of the bullpen more than what he's done as a starter. I think you just have something so valuable there, but you don't really want to mess that up. But we have a lot of time between now and February and now in spring training to speculate and see kind of what happens and what we want and how everything kind of falls into place. Coming up in our second segment of the Locked On Red Sox podcast, we are going to talk about Brian Bale, because he was a big part in Tuesday's win. He's really starting to show some promise here. And we're going to talk about Alex Cora's comments about how they're just kind of experimenting for the rest of 2022. But first, I want to tell you about Blue Chew, because summer is winding down. It is almost fall. The nights are getting a bit longer, but the breeze isn't the only thing that's getting stiff. That's right. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, we all know that confidence can take you far in life, and that's especially true in the bedroom, especially when it's time to step up to the plate. And that's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, but in a chewable tablet and at a fraction of the cost. Take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready when the opportunity arises. And the best part, it's all done online. So no visits to the doctors, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made right here in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. They always say first impressions are important, but what about lasting impressions? It's time to get off the couch, get back to work. If your tool needs an upgrade, head to BlueChew.com. They say there's nothing sexier than confidence, and Blue Chew can help you give you that confidence when it counts. So if you could benefit from a little bit of that extra confidence when it's time to perform, chew it and do it. We have got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Just pay the $5 for shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. So Brian Bayo has really, really shown some promise. He learned how to throw another pitch from Rich Hill. You saw them talking in the dugout 2 weeks ago and just showing him how to grip. And grip it and rip it is what they say. So it's been really, really good to see Bayo, who struggled when he first got here. And I think we were kind of expecting that. I've said many times that he certainly was not ready to come to the big leagues, but that was to no fault of his own. That was how the Red Sox season went this year, injury after injury, and they didn't have anyone to go to. But he's really, really settled in. He's really showing that swagger, that confidence. He walks off the mound, and he's ready to go. So I think he will be a crucial part to this team in 2023. I think we were going to see him in 2023 regardless, but it's really nice to see him just kind of find his groove, find some confidence, and continue to take strides with every single outing he has. Now, turning the page to 2022 for a moment, Alex Cora was asked about the process behind having Bale commit to using a larger mix of pitches, and his answer kind of gave a preview into Boston's overarching philosophy that has really kind of come into focus, especially after the season ends, after game 162. It's not mathematically, they're not mathematically eliminated yet, but I think we all know how the season is going to end. And Bayo has been using more pitches lately, which I only think will make him more dominant down the stretch, not just in 2022, but in 2023 and beyond as well. And Cora was asked about that process of behind having Bayo kind of commit to different pitches, using a larger mix of pitches. And he said that it's something we've been talking about. Obviously, where we're at, we're pushing guys to do stuff that they probably haven't done in a while. It's about usage and stuff like that. Stuff that's going to make them better. We're going to see it tomorrow, which is today, Wednesday, with Connor Siebold. We want him to use certain pitches and be aggressive with them and trust his stuff. That's the message to everybody, and I think they did an outstanding job tonight, which is Tuesday. So when you read into those comments, he's talking like, let's just see what you have. Let's just see what you can do, what is going to make you a better pitcher, and what's going to help this team, what's going to help you. And we will see that with Connor Siebold on Wednesday. He officially got recalled Wednesday. Garrett Whitlock did go on the IL. But you look at what this team has left this season, and they have nothing to lose. Maybe you want to finish the season at or above 500, but at the end of the day, there is nothing to fight for. You're not going to the postseason. You're not going to have some fun October run like you had last year. You're not going to be playing the World Series in November, unfortunately. But why not just see what these guys have, these young guys have? We've seen Connor Siebold before this season. We saw him in July. He really struggled. But like Alex Cora said, they want their pitchers to be aggressive, kind of do things they haven't done, maybe they're not comfortable with, and get out of your comfort zone, because there's nothing left to lose. There is nothing to lose. If the Red Sox lose the rest of the games during the season, oh well, it's not the end of the world, because we're already focused on 2023. At least that's the message I'm getting from Cora here, is that unfortunately the season did not go the way they wanted to. Just too much went wrong. Now you have some really young, promising prospects and people that are looking forward to seeing these guys play the next season and the season after that and the season after that. So let's just see what you have to give. And maybe they'll turn into a trade chip or a reliable piece to this team. Maybe they'll be a contender in 2023 and 2024, but you're not going to know what you have in these guys until they break out of their shells, show really what they can do and what they can bring, and see if it's the real deal here or not. So I am excited to see Siebold pitch. We haven't seen him since July. I don't expect too much. You know, my hopes are so low now for the rest of the season that they can't hurt me anymore, and they shouldn't hurt you anymore. But maybe you've been over that for a long time. Maybe you weren't like me and got your hopes up in June when they had that ridiculous month and just felt like they couldn't lose. But here we are on September 21st talking about 2023, what the Red Sox could show in terms of prospects, pitchers, hitters, defense, offense, a little bit of everything. I am excited for the future 100%, but my hopes are not high for this season, for the rest of the season anymore. But we still have one more segment to get to in our Locked On Red Sox podcast. As always, it is our Mental Health Minute. So Tuesday went from really, really, really good to really, really, really crappy in the matter of seconds. It was a really good day overall, and I should have seen the red flags that this day was going to turn around, because I woke up and ready to go. I felt like I had a really good sleep, and I was like, oh, this is great. Like, first day back into the office in a month, and I'm ready to rock and roll. And then I covered Zdeno Chara's retirement press conference at TD Garden. Check out Locked On Bruins. Ian McLaren will take you through everything throughout that day. Very special, very emotional day, and I'm honored to be part of it. I wrote some really fulfilling stories. Every story I write, I enjoy writing, obviously. That's what I do for a living. When I can write something very meaningful and fulfilling, and about someone who spent 25 years in a league that I grew up watching and spent 14 seasons of those 25 playing for the team and captaining the team that I grew up cheering for, helping the Bruins win a Stanley Cup in 2011. It's just very emotional. And it was awesome because he was sitting next to Cam Neely, who was my brother's favorite player growing up. Chara was one of my favorite players. So it was just a very, like I said, very special day. And I lost my parking ticket, but it's okay. I found it. It was thankfully it didn't blow away. It was on the floor right next to my car. Got out of the parking garage, no problem. Got home and realized I locked myself out of the house. I let my mom borrow my car. Then I took my house key off my car keys. And left my house keys on the dining room table or on the living room table like the dope I am. And my husband had already gone to work. He works about an hour away. I still had some stories to write before I logged off for the day. So I tried to pick the lock myself to no avail. I tried to get through a window to no avail. I ended up breaking a nail. I got cuts on me. I have some battle wounds from trying to break into my own house that I could not get into. So I ended up calling a locksmith and it came pretty quick. The whole process was probably about an hour from the time I called, from the time they left. So pretty efficient, but it was a lot of money. I was not expecting that. And he told me, but I got confused at the end when he gave me the price because he did replace my doorknob. Because he couldn't pick the lock either, and he ended up drilling into my doorknob. And obviously, when he asked to replace it, I was like, yes, I have a lot of work to do. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get out of the house, and I'm not going to have a non-working doorknob. But that's why we have dogs, right? We have dogs for added security. My dog would not let anyone come in this house, but it was just that hour was so stressful and kind of sent me into a spiral. And I had to call my husband because nothing just seemed to be going right, and he was working, so he knows I never call him during work hours, but it was just so crazy to me how high the day was to how low it went. And it kind of spilled into Wednesday as well. Just my mood was sour when I woke up, but it was still a positive day. I still made the most of it. It was a crappy 12, 16, 18 hours, whatever it was. That does not mean it needs to continue. I had a good day at work. We had a food truck. So things got better pretty quick over the last 24 hours. But Tuesday was just a reminder that it's okay to just feel your emotions. I am a big emotion feeler. And I was sad. I was mad that I was angry. And it just, like I said, it put a damper on the rest of the day, the rest of the night, and spilled into today. But now I just feel like it's a thing of the past. I'm going to make a great dinner. I'm going to have some great ice cream. And hopefully we're going to watch the Red Sox finish out the series against the Reds on a high note before they travel to New York to take on the Yankees. So I hope the rest of your day was better than my Tuesday and half of my Wednesday. But thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Rate, review, and subscribe to Locked On Red Sox right here on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast is where you can find us. You can also find us on Twitter at @LO_Red Sox. We have been a little quiet on that account, but that soon will change. You can find Jake at Jake Iggy. He's finishing up the final week of the Woo Sox season as well as dealing with some other things on the side. So he will be back with us next week. We'll get the band back together. It's going to be a fun ride. And then, of course, me, La 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 Lauren, three laws, Lauren with four R's. Be sure to check out all the other shows across the Locked On Network. Locked On Yankees. Stacey must be so excited about the Yankees and Aaron Judge and just continuing to have a really strong season. Locked On Astros, Locked On A's. Everyone does such a really good job here bringing baseball content Monday through Friday. And now that you've made Locked On Red Sox your first listen, head on over to Locked On MLB to make it listen number two. Call Francis Sullivan, just call him Sully, friend of the pod, friend of mine for about 10 years now. Bring you his unique perspective, using insight, using humor about the major leagues, both past and present. It is a must listen. You can subscribe right here on YouTube or on the Odyssey app. Wherever you get your podcasts is where you can find me, is where you can find Sully, is where you can find everyone else on the Locked On Network. Have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow, hopefully recapping a strong series win, a strong Seabold start. We're going to bring positive vibes for the rest of this season. It's what we have to do at this point, right? We're going to end this show how we always do, though. Let's go, Red Sox.